the host of HarrisFootball.com, the inimitable Chris Harris. Good morning, Chris. How you doing?
Good morning. I would have gotten that one, plus I do want a hat.
Okay. You would have gotten that, huh?
Yeah, that was not a hard one.
Well, maybe we'll start bringing Harris in on the trivia question every week.
It's a great plan. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they're hard normally, but that's a pretty good franchise to know who the best guys are.
Well, yeah. Chris, normally Pat's like, okay, name numbers 8 through 12 yeah, of the exactly. all-time. Like, yeah, that's what it is. So
all right.
Yeah.
All right, listen, Chris, we've got a few things to talk about. Now, by the way, 610-632-0975. Get on the phone here. Talk to Mr. Harris, especially if you got any good flex questions, which plague me every single week. All right, but Chris, some developments obviously overnight. I see you got Spencer Ware at 16. Let me ask you, did what happened with that change the way you ranked any of the Kansas City receivers?
No. Sammy Watkins isn't going to play anyway, so that sort of cleared. There really isn't another receiver there that they've consistently used enough that I'm ready to use any of them, right? Kelce essentially is the second receiver. So I didn't move Kelce. I didn't move Tyreek. Hard to move Tyreek Hill up further than I moved him. And Mahomes stays where he stays, too. We'll see. I mean, is it possible that it gets easier to defend that team with a somewhat lesser running back? I do think Spencer Ware is a somewhat lesser running back than Kareem Hunt. But obviously he had success a couple of years ago before he hurt his knee. He's not a bad player. I think he's pretty good. I don't think he's... You know, Hunt is a special player in terms of balance. He just is hard to tackle in a way that Spencer Ware isn't. It's still going to be a machine. I still think, or at least I think it is. I think for a week, the strategy is treat it like you'd treat the other guys, and then let's just see what it looks like.
Now, Chris, as you're taking a look at the rest of the season, obviously this is a pivotal time as you head into the playoff for some leagues next week. Are there guys that you've highlighted that you maybe value more than you did early on in the season just because of their late season schedule?
I'm not so much the schedule guy, to be honest.
Okay.
I think the days of like being really scared of defenses may be behind us in the
Makes
NFL.
Sense.
You know, where who am I really supposed to be afraid of? I guess Khalil Mack, you know, I guess the Bears to some degree, but I'd start all my Giants tomorrow. Like, I don't know. I think probably my strategy, if I'm going to sort of manipulate my roster, comes down to, I think, you know, there are players who you've needed during bye weeks. Isaiah Crowell would be maybe the poster child. Like, okay, you could use him, but he's got no upside. And like, you'd never use him in DraftKings, right? You'd never use him in DFS. So probably you can be dropping him for, well, I would have said someone like Spencer Ware, but say Rod Smith or say Malcolm Brown, you know, handcuffing, maybe Dallas Goedert, right? If you're an Ertz guy, heaven forbid something happens to Ertz, like I feel like Goedert would slide in and be in a pretty valuable role. I think probably that's where I'm looking roster manipulation-wise, not so much at this dude plays Tampa Bay or this dude plays Cincinnati, because I just don't know that I find that many defenses scary anymore.
Let's go to Justin in Bethlehem, who has a fantasy question for you, Chris. What's going on, Justin?
All right. I have Austin Eckler or Brandon Cooks at the flex at the PPR.
That's such a great question. I love using Austin Eckler tomorrow night. I love it. I can't get away from using Brandon Cooks. The dude is a stud, and especially in a PPR. Like, it's a great problem to have. That's a champagne problem, but it's a totally legitimate, like, 51-49. I expect them both to be pretty good. If you went either way, I'd be comfortable. I think I'd play Cooks.
Yeah, it's hard. Like you said about the Giants, it's just tough to sit down a guy like Cooks. Eckler, because I had a similar question for you. I picked up Josh Adams on the waiver wire. He was very good for me last week. I got him penciled in for this week, but I also have Eckler. And yeah. I see you got Eckler ranked like 9 spots, 10 spots higher than Adams. Is that because of matchup? Or you just you think Eckler is a superior player?
I think they're very different players. I like Adams. If you made the choice for Adams, I wouldn't be completely upset with it. It feels like the baseline, the floor, as we say, with Eckler feels a little safer. I know what it's looked like with Adams, but man, Corey Clement plays too much. You know, and part of it was because Adams hurt his shoulder early in that game. And right. But I do worry that they're, do the Eagles ever really want one guy? I know Doug Peterson will say he wants one guy. I just don't know that their actions ever really, I mean, trade for Jay Ajayi and still all last year wouldn't go to one guy. And I think to the detriment until they started focusing on Ajayi in the playoffs. If I have a hesitation, it's that what if we get the trick? What if we get the Corey Clement, you know, 25 snap game? And I just don't feel like that's on the table for Eckler. Justin Jackson's a nice looking young rookie. He's probably going to play some. Everybody, yeah. Everything's a platoon. I guess the reason I ranked it the way I ranked it, because Eckler with no Melvin Gordon does feel pretty safe, and that could be wrong, but that's my perception.
I'm taking a look at your Golden Tate ranking at 33 among wide receivers, right around Larry Fitzgerald, Tyler Boyd, Sterling Shepard, that kind of group. I think a lot of people would be surprised if you just looked at the targets that Golden Tate got on this Eagles offense that he'd be rated so low. Do you consider him to be a guy with some upward mobility the rest of the way, or do you kind of anticipate this is where he's going to hang out because something doesn't work with Golden Tate and the Eagles?
Maybe the latter. He's a little higher in PPR. I think I might have him just inside the top 30 in PPR. From, you know, the listeners all watched that game last week, and would anybody who watched that game say, wow, Golden Tate, those targets were so valuable. It was like a bunch of wide receiver screens that were like 4 feet behind him. You know, they were forcing it to him, no question. He's covered, right? And some of them could have been picked. And, you know, I saw, just like you're saying, that there was a clear emphasis in a way that there wasn't the first couple of games on really making him part of the game plan. It felt to me like maybe to the detriment, could we throw it to Alshon, who's a better player? Like, I can see what you're, I think there's some upward mobility there. If we continue to see the same sort of emphasis, and, you know, Alshon just seems like a little bit of an afterthought. The one Alshon long catch was not a penalty. Like, it's so frustrating. Right. I'm not even an Alshon owner. I'm just a fan. I just like him as a player, and that was not offensive interference. But I can see what you're saying. I have a hard time basing just purely on the pure numbers a higher rank for Golden Tate, because you, me, we all watched that Eagle game, and it didn't feel like he was a very good player in that game.
Hey, Chris, getting back to these flex things that have bothered me all season long, I wanted to know, a guy like Joe Mixon, right? Say you're deciding between a guy like a Joe Mixon who's on a dead-end team that's just careening off the railroad track into the river below, but you're deciding between a guy like him, maybe guys like Julian Edelman or even a Robert Woods. Does the way the team is going influence how you would make a decision like that?
Sure, yeah. I mean, especially because people want to tell me that Jeff Driskel being the quarterback of the Bengals, maybe that's a good thing. You never really liked Andy Dalton, Harris. Like, come on, man. Like, that could be a good thing. It seems like it's Blaine Gabbert 2.0 to me, and maybe Jeff Driskel's ready to, I mean, he was Tim Tebow 2.0 in college, and, you know, that didn't work out, and now he's Blaine Gabbert 2.0. It seems to me that when you have a worse quarterback, your team is worse. So this notion that, well, worse quarterback means more emphasis on the run, I never really buy that. Otherwise, Mark Sanchez would have had a whole lot of Hall of Famers playing with him, right? Because he was terrible. Sure, I mean, the problem sitting Mixon is that you're sitting what we all just sort of objectively know is a really, really talented player, a really, really good player. And it hasn't been as good for him lately, but you know he's getting a big workload, and the floor is pretty safe. I mean, Edelman and Woods are kind of different cases. Edelman just also feels like really, really safe. If I'm comparing Mixon to Edelman, they're almost the same. They have the sort of the same levels of upside, the same levels of scary usage, you know, downside. But Robert Woods would be the more explosive option, right? Part of the greatest show on turf, all that stuff. But yeah, the answer to the question is sure. I think I don't want to freak out on every little loss, every little. It's not like I'm now benching all my Saints because they can only score 10,
right,
10
exactly,
points against
right.
the Cowboys.
Right.
But I do feel like, sure, if a big change happens and we know the quarterback is worse, I don't think it's good for the player.